Welcome to the CodeCast Podcast. Real-world insights for your daily medical coding and billing processes. And now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CodeCast Podcast. My name is Terry Fletcher. This is our 164th episode of the CodeCast. I hope everyone is making their way into the holiday spirit. Happy Hanukkah for my Jewish friends who are celebrating this week, and Merry Christmas to our friends trying to figure out which gifts to add Santa's name on. I don't know if you have that problem or not, but as soon as I get up to maybe the 9th or 10th gift for my daughter, I hate to keep saying, you know, love mama or mom, so I end up putting Santa on everything else. But anyway, trying to get into the spirit. I know it's been a tough year, but hopefully everybody is at least getting some joy and some happiness out of, you know, just the holiday spirit that's there. So, okay, so what are we going to talk about this week? Well, I've had a lot of questions on COVID coding, and I know everybody is just, you know, COVID out, and we've definitely got that COVID hangover going on, but sometimes you really need to look at what the patient encounter is, not just patients who are coming in with potential COVID or suspected, or they were maybe indirectly exposed, or they actually have COVID. But what about those patients that are coming in maybe because of that diagnosis, but are getting different tests ordered for them, like MRIs or CT scans? And then what about that patient that's coming back that doesn't have it anymore or finally tested negative, and now they need to go back to work? So those are the kinds of questions that I've been getting this week, and I thought I'd share some of the answers with you since we're right still in the middle of it, and some of those answers are going to be important on how you submit your claims so that they can get paid. Okay, so let's take a look at some of these questions. And some of them may seem like a little bit redundant, but they're really not. They're really just asking it in a way that could be a separate example of, okay, this is the kind of patient we have. And you might find that you have these same scenarios in your practice that you're dealing with. So we just want to make sure that you're coding correctly. So this is based on diagnosis coding for diagnostic tests and our procedures for COVID positive patients. So an example, a physician orders a chest x-ray, chest CT, or an MRI, and the patient is COVID positive plus pneumonia. Would we code the U07.1, that's the COVID diagnosis, as primary and pneumonia as secondary? And the answer is yes, as long as they have COVID, if it is positive. And then a physician orders a chest x-ray, chest CT, or an MRI, and the patient is COVID positive, and that's the reason they ordered the test. Now, this one seemed pretty simplistic, but sometimes you don't know because you don't know if those diagnoses will get you that test paid for. But they asked, would I code that as a U07.1 only? Yes. And then a physician orders a chest x-ray, chest CT, and our MRI, and the patient is COVID positive. The indication for the test, though, is cough in a COVID positive patient. Would we code this as U07.1 as primary, or would we code the cough as primary? Well, remember, if they're positive for COVID, that means they have a definitive diagnosis of U07.1, and that's what you code. On that one, I would not even add the cough. Another one is the physician orders a chest x-ray, chest CT, and an MRI, and the patient is COVID positive. The indication for the test is COVID positive with shortness of breath. Would we code U07.1 as primary or the shortness of breath? Again, another symptom of COVID. So this is just, and I understand the thought process between the coder that asked that, but the answer is yes, U07.1 is the indication for the test. That's the COVID. Shortness of breath is considered integral to the COVID-19, and only symptoms like shortness of breath or cough. Manifestations could also be coded if there were pneumonia discovered, for example. Again, that's a separate diagnosis. You would code the viral pneumonia separately. But remember, in 2021, that is now going to be updated as a related manifestation or related diagnosis to COVID at the J12.82 code. So in 2021, we've got some options. And then the reason, and the person put out, the reason I ask these questions is because we bill a good number of radiology services where the patient is COVID positive, but COVID may not always be the appropriate diagnosis depending on the diagnostic study that they're trying to perform. And a lot of times what they're doing are chest x-rays, chest CTs, and MRIs. And so one of the things you just want to understand is that if the indication on what you want to, what is the what is the not just the indication, but what is the doctor's thought process? What are they looking for? Why is it diagnostic? Meaning that what is the searching for? So if it's related to COVID, then obviously, and the patient is COVID positive, then you want to code for that. But let's say that it's different. Let's say that the patient's COVID positive, but they are looking for a lung cancer or a nodule. Then I would code on that one shortness of breath first, and then COVID second, and narratively add that the lung abnormality. Remember, it's what you're looking for. What's the intent? That's the word I was looking for. So what is the intent of the diagnostic? If it's because you want to see how bad the COVID is, and if there's, you know, fluid in the lungs and things like that, that's one thing. But if the doctor suspects lung cancer or lung nodule, and the patient just happens to be COVID positive, that's when COVID now becomes a secondary diagnosis. Another example, a physician orders a vascular study for leg pain and wants to assess for clots in a COVID positive patient. Would leg pain be primary? Yes, you would now code from the M79 code series. Obviously, it's going to be extra digits. And then you would code for the U07.1 because it's, again, what are you assessing for? What is the indication that you're looking for? And you're looking for clots. Patient's also COVID positive. So now that gives an extra, I hate to call it a benefit, but an extra indication on why you'd be looking for that. Another one was, is it appropriate to bill U07.1 as secondary in some instances when the condition you're managing or reason for ordering is not the primary reason you're managing the patient or ordering the test? And that's basically, the answer is yes. That's your argument. The indication for the diagnostic test has to be primary. What is your indication? If that indication is also a sign or symptom of a diagnosis that's confirmed like COVID, then you would use U07.1. But if it's not, and the diagnosis is a sign or symptom that's unrelated, then you would use that as primary and then the COVID as secondary. You just have to make sure that you have some kind of an edit rule in your system so that you can select the correct diagnosis based on the presentation of the patient, especially when you're ordering radiology services. Another one came up and it says, an example is where a physician orders an x-ray of the knee for a patient who is COVID positive, but the reason for the knee x-ray is for fracture. Would you code the U07.1 as secondary diagnosis or only assign the fracture code? And so the coder on this example is saying, I would only think about the fracture code. Well, in this example, I would agree because the COVID really isn't even a factor. You're trying to find out if the patient has a fracture based on their presenting problem of probably knee pain, but you're also in a hospital setting and a hospital, this actual coder, they may want everything to match the DRG and they have to equal the count or in the outpatient facility list. So it also depends on your location and what kind of practice that you have. So you may have to slap it on there for continuity, but it definitely would not be primary in this situation. If you are a physician's practice, then I would not put it on at all because it doesn't have any effect on that. It's not, you're not saying that I'm taking this knee x-ray because of this COVID patient. And I think, you know, knee fractures are a sign or symptom or a manifestation of COVID. That's never been proven. That's not the case. It's not even something you could put a relationship in there at this point for it. So that is where you have to really kind of, I hate to use common sense on that because that's not fair because right now, we don't know what COVID causes. I know since I had it, you know, 8-9 months ago, I've noticed that some of those muscle aches are still there. And I'm like, is that ever going to end? Now, it could just be age. Let's face it. Once we hit 50, those are there. But I have noticed, and I've heard this from my friends who either tested positive or ended up getting sick from COVID. And it's interesting because 3 months ago, you would rarely find somebody you knew that had it. It would be, you know, a cousin of a stepsister of, you know, whoever. It was way out there, but not any more. Now it's a little bit closer to home and you kind of find people that, you know, either had it or tested positive or have had something. Most of the things I'm hearing is the lack of taste and smell, and that takes a while to come back. I never had that, but the lingering side effects, so the lingering muscle aches and things like that. And one thing I noticed too, and I've had two friends, or I should say acquaintances, that had COVID And one of the things that is manifesting are styes in the eye. And I've had one, and I've never had that. That was something my sister had as we were growing up kids. And I've had two this year. And I talked to my optometrist about it. And he said, you know what, that could be a lingering effect from COVID. I'm like, well, great, that's attractive. And so those are tough things. All of a sudden, we're finding out, why is this affected? Why do you have this problem? And so it's interesting. Now, I feel great, so I don't want anybody to worry there. But it's just that some of those little things are starting to come up. And I think in the long term, we're going to really have some issues when it comes to some, you know, chronic conditions that we didn't even factor in when it comes to this COVID virus. Another one that came in, and I think this one's important. This is a patient that had a confirmed diagnosis of COVID, did his required 14-day quarantine. Then he tested negative, and he scheduled an appointment to get his documentation to return to work. So the staff member said that she used Z09 and Z86.19, but then felt maybe that wasn't appropriate. So Z09 basically is encounter for follow-up examination after completed treatment for conditions other than malignant neoplasm. That would just confuse the claim. First of all, there really wasn't any treatment. There was just a quarantine because the patient didn't get sick. The other one is Z86.19 is personal history of other infections and parasitic diseases. That would be it, because that would be the personal history of COVID right now. Now, it's going to change in 2021, but that's really what you would code for. Now, because they were positive, if they didn't have a negative test, but they did their 14-day quarantine, then some argue that you would code the Z86.19 and then secondarily put U07.1 for COVID. As soon as the patient has a negative test, they don't have COVID anymore. So you don't want to keep putting that on a claim, because for right now, you don't know what the information banks are doing as far as every time they get a claim, are they also putting that in to the positive numbers? So as soon as the patient tests negative, which they should before they go back to work, then that would be a reason to keep that out of there. So just know there's definitely some clarifying questions when it comes to coding for COVID, and we just have to be mindful of that. The CodeCast podcast is also brought to you today by the Ontario Association of Naturopathic Doctors. Find AND.ca, Toronto, Canada, OAND, championing the success of naturopathic physicians and the health of Ontarians. Learn how laughter can help your heart at newswise.com. Okay, so let's get into our coding question. Even though I know I've been talking about coding, I definitely wanted to bring a couple of clarifying questions to the ENM 2021. Now, I know many of you have already taken your training course, or I've set up a training course for you, but you definitely want to make sure that you've at least gotten your training done. Now we're getting into the home stretch. It's 3 weeks away from when you're probably listening to this. So we have to get this done and make sure that you understand the changes. But here's a couple questions that have come up. So if I order an MRI at the visit on November 10th, let's say, and review it with the patient at a follow-up visit on November 27th, do I count the order on the 10th and the review on the 27th, we did not bill for an MRI interpretation? The answer is no. So on page 14 of your CPT book 2021, it says you only get to count it once at the order. And this is if you're leveling your visit based on medical decision making. It says, and I'll quote, ordering a test is included in the category of test result, and the review of the test result is part of the encounter, not a subsequent encounter. So basically, they're saying you can't double dip. Another question is, if using time, do I need to list all of the activities and time spent doing each one to be able to support the time? So according to American Medical Association, the total time list and describe what activities were done would be helpful. Or they said you can say something to the effect that I spent 45 minutes caring for this patient today, reviewing labs, records from another facility, seeing the patient, documenting in the record, and arranging for a sleep study, something like that. So it's up to you how you want to list it. And there are books out there. I know I actually have purchased a couple of them. I'm actually writing one that's going to be a reference guide on this, because I think I want to do it by specialty. Cardiology be up first, and then I'll do GI, probably ortho, and then get into some primary care. But when we get into some of these questions, you have to make sure that you're very meticulous in what you're doing. I've also had an audit tool created that I am fine-tuning right now. So just make sure that you are aware of how to really capture some of those services. And again, if you haven't taken either the on-demand, make sure you get a course out there, because it's important that you know within the next couple weeks. Our coding question is brought to you today by Modern Healthcare, helping healthcare executives make smarter decisions. ModernHealthcare.com. Also, some of you have seen a lot of posts saying that the Medicare fee schedule is out. That's not true. The Medicare final rule is out, but the Medicare fee schedule, it will be published with the RVU file on 12/28. So be on the lookout for that. And the rule is that your MAC carriers or individual Medicare carriers have to post it to their website by then. So we've got to wait another few weeks for that, but it will be out in a couple of weeks. So make sure you're looking for that. Just be aware that the conversion factor, the multiplier, did go down by about 10.5%. So that's really what you're looking at. And I will have a Medicare update. You can actually go to McVeigh Seminars, and I have at 10 a.m. Pacific time on Thursday the 17th, I have a complete Medicare update on all of that. So make sure you take a look. Okay, so my personal tidbit this week, as some of you probably know because you DM'd me and said, sorry about your Steelers game. Yeah, we had another matinee because they don't like us apparently, but we lost to the Washington football team. They don't even have a nickname. It's just Washington football team. And we are now 11-1. So at least they're an NFC team. They're not AFC, so it doesn't affect our number one seed for now, but boy, do we have a tough game ahead this weekend against Buffalo, and I am praying for a hard-fought win now that some of our key players are off the COVID list after testing positive. Luckily, nobody got sick, and I was really worried about our running back, James Conner, because he is a cancer survivor, and when he tested positive, with a lot of gasps went out, we were really worried because he was high risk, but he's fine, and he's off the list now, too. Also, I wanted to shout out to some listeners today who've been sending me just some really awesome messages on the latest topics on the CodeCast and just really putting it out there for me. And I really appreciate that, especially being close to 200,000 downloads and listens. James Howe, he's a healthcare lawyer I met through LinkedIn. And thank you, James. He's been a great follow and also a good supporter of the CodeCast. Claire, a favorite of mine from Australia. They're doing better down there as their weather is getting warmer, just as we're getting colder. And so I'm praying for them as well. And she's been very sweet. Lourdes Mack, just a new follower on my Instagram account. Thank you for the sweet message. I really appreciate that. And good luck on your AAPC certification. And always a shout out to Judy, Ruth, Vicky, Sarah as well. You guys have been great. Joe and also Dennis. So thank you. And I really like it when you guys tell me you have positive thoughts on the podcast, or just, you know, like in one of my posts about football or my daughter or anything like that, because in this current state of seclusion, we all need that connection. You know, I'm an independent consultant, and so I work alone, and it's really nice not only to have the CodeCast platform, but since I'm also a solo podcaster, I'm able to get the feedback from many of you on what you think about the podcast and just, you know, how you're doing, and just some of your feedback on what I post and everything out there. Also, remember Steel City Underground Podcast, the National Society for Certified Healthcare Business Consultants podcast, The Edge, and just, you know, keep it going. The Talk 10 Tuesday starts back next year. So there's a lot of podcasts that I'm part of, and I really hope you are too. So everyone, again, make it a great day and a great week, and I'll talk to you next week on the CodeCast podcast.
For more information on medical coding, billing, auditing, and compliance, including how to hire Terry, follow Terry on Twitter at TerryCoder1 or visit her website at www.terryfletcher.net. Podcast producer Joe Kuzma. Music producer Dasassin Music.